from Wentworth Institute of Technology in Boston. Welcome to Inside Wentworth.
Hello, and welcome to the Inside Wentworth podcast. I'm Greg Abazorius. Colleges of the Fenway, also known as the COF. I'm sure a lot of you know what that is, but if you don't, the COF is a consortium of six different colleges in the Fenway area. It's comprised of Wentworth Institute of Technology, that's us, Emmanuel College, Mass College of Art and Design, Mass College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, Wheelock College, and Simmons College. We love the COF here at Wentworth because it allows our students to take certain classes or get involved in clubs or programs that might not be available here, and vice versa. Wentworth can offer those schools various resources that might not be available to certain students. The Schumann Fitness Center would be one example. The COF just marked its 20th anniversary this year, so we felt who better to talk about it than the executive director, Claire Ramsbottom. Claire and I talk about a few different things here. Some of the programs that I was referencing, we get into how the COF originally came together, and Claire's been there from the beginning, by the way. And we also talk about why, if you choose to go to school in this area, the COF is such a valuable resource for you. But enough of me, let's hear it from Claire. Okay, well, first of all, congratulations on 20 years of the Colleges of the Fenway. That's quite the accomplishment.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Before we go any further with that, and I want to definitely talk a lot about COF, I thought maybe we could let our listeners get to know you a little bit better. So, as executive director, just kind of walk us through briefly what you do with the COF.
Well, so there's 11 full-time people that work for the Colleges of the Fenway. So I sort of work to make sure we have a cohesive vision and are clear about what our goals and objectives are for every year. It's running a small little nonprofit, frankly.
Sure.
Are we working effectively? We outsource our accounting and our HR services, so are we working in all those pieces we need to do? Overseeing a budgeting process, which is on my mind because we've just finished that process. And then do what the rest of my staff do, work with a number of key committees to make sure that what Colleges of the Fenway is doing is meeting the needs of the colleges and, you know, fulfilling our mission.
Mm-hmm.
So I work, the six college presidents from our member institutions are the board for Colleges of the Fenway, so making sure that we're doing the appropriate reporting and, you know, sort of connecting with the board members, working with the chief financial officers at the institutions, the chief academic officers, the mm-hmm. chief student affairs officers, and then some other committees too, but always around this meeting the needs of students or enhancing opportunities for students, finding ways for the colleges to save money,
mm-hmm.
finding ways to strengthen faculty and staff and build that sense of community.
Sure. And what is your background? Have you always been in nonprofits?
So my background is higher ed administration.
Okay.
I think I'm pretty fortunate. I've been here for 20 years, so I was the first person that was hired when COF was launched.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's wonderful.
And so I've been able to have the lucky job of sort of helping grow an organization and watch the mission and, you know, things we do evolve and change. But my background is higher education. I was actually in student affairs in higher education at a number of institutions before, one of which early on in my career was Simmons.
Okay.
So I knew the neighborhood.
Sure.
And I worked actually for 11 years at Wheaton College in Norton before
mm-hmm.
I came here. And I guess I would tell you about me, I like change. I like developing new initiatives and programs. And
it's a good city for that.
Well, it's
a
great
city.
Place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of what attracted me to this work.
Sure.
When the job, I was able to do that in some previous positions.
So let me ask you then, when you were here at Simmons or just in the general area, was there a gap that you could identify at that point that maybe some of these schools could come together at some point? Was that even a thought in your mind back then?
Well, I would say, so way back then, and I was in residence life, there was a group called BACA, which was a Boston area RA group or housing association. So there's always been those kinds of networks.
Those partnerships, yeah.
And partnership, and that was more of a professional development organization for, and I think it still exists. So
I believe
when I
so.
Say was.
Mm-hmm.
For people in student affairs or in that case in Res Life within Boston, which just has so many colleges and universities, or greater Boston, as mm-hmm. we would say. I don't think, other than five colleges out in Amherst, I don't think I was consciously aware that there were formal consortia that had more organizational development around colleges working together, which is a little different than a professional development mm-hmm. organization. I will say at the time I got to know people in Res Life at Emmanuel right across the street.
Okay.
Some of that was because when I was at Simmons, I actually lived at Simmons. You okay. know, that was part of the Res Life role.
These were just neighbors at that point.
Yeah. You got to know people in the neighborhood, or you got to know them through other professional organizations, and then you realized you were all in the same space.
Sure.
There.
And so when this opportunity came about, you know, what was your initial thought that, geez, I think right away that this could work? Or was it because, you know, you only maybe knew of the five colleges, like you were talking about, this is a brand new thing, we're going to have to put a lot of work into it?
Well, I knew it was a brand new thing.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
would take a lot of work. So when I say I like new initiatives, I actually believe in collaboration, and it's something that I believed in before, you know, sort of part of who I was. I joke, I say, my kids went to a cooperative preschool. All the parents had to be invested. I was a leader for what we called a cooperative Girl Scout troop. All the mothers
okay,
in that
yeah.
case. So I had that in my history before I did some of this work. So it's a natural
sure.
way that I think about work and think about. And it was part of actually some of the work I was able to do at Wheaton, particularly having done a lot of work and studying around feminism as a cornerstone for that, about working mm. collaboratively.
We'll talk a little about the students. You know, obviously at Wentworth, one of our mantras is students first, and I know a lot of other schools use that, especially within the COF. So have you noticed students working together more in the past 20 years? Are you seeing schools, or I should ask, you know, when students get to a particular COF school, do they know right away about the network that they can be a part of?
So one of the things, you know, you may be aware that last spring we did a survey of students to understand better about the impact of colleges
yeah.
in the Fenway. And one of the things we found, so we had a very good response rate from students. Over 2,000 students responded to the
That's
survey.
Wonderful.
And 52% of the first-year students said COF had an impact on their decision to attend the school they were attending.
Wow.
So clearly students know about colleges of the Fenway before mm-hmm. they come. I think the other piece that we learned is actually students are wanting to experience sort of that, what we promote, a university model, permeable boundaries between the institutions. They come thinking they're going to be able to cross-register, they want to cross-register.
Right.
So I think from that perspective, students are pretty aware. We run a performing arts program, and the director of that program tracks the number of inquiries he gets every summer, mm. you know, at different points of the year. So students are calling, asking about these opportunities that are provided through colleges of the Fenway. So I think they clearly know about them. And for many students, as I said, it's part of their factor when they're considering, am I going to go to this institution?
Sure.
Because mostly they're small institutions, and we're providing sort of this other level of opportunity.
You kind of have best of both worlds, where you can have those smaller class sizes and individual attention, but there are also these resources right outside your door.
Exactly. Or you can go someplace like Wentworth and have this resource of performing arts that may not be something that's integral to the academic mission of Wentworth, mm-hmm. but clearly is complementary to the student experience.
Definitely. Let's talk a little more about those benefits. And so we just touched on the arts programs. I know there's a jazz club, there's a dance group that students can get involved in. Okay, so you were talking about some of the intramurals, some of the groups that students can get involved in. Do you want to list a couple of those?
Sure. Let me talk a little bit about the performing arts. So we have a Colleges of the Fenway Orchestra, which is 60-plus students. And in fact, we've had some faculty and staff that have played in the orchestra for a number of years, too.
No kidding.
And that, what's great is it's pretty open. We're not looking for the virtuosos, though we have some of them. anybody that can read music that's interested is accepted. And then the conductor, who's actually been with us for over 10 years, works to then give those that may have a higher skill level special opportunities. So we have a conductor competition every year, etc. There's a jazz band that plays, and they've been invited to play at events on the campuses, and they played at our 20th anniversary event. We have a COF chorus that sings, and a couple of years ago they sang at Fenway Park, did the national
anthem. I remember that,
there.
Yeah.
We have a dance group or a dance project that offers jazz, tap, ballet, hip-hop, African, and you know, non-Western dance. I'm probably forgetting one of them. And they do huge performances every semester, at the end of every semester. Latin, very, very popular there. And in that case, you know, you're actually taking dance classes with professional instructors.
Sure.
And then doing, and we're not charged, there's no charge to the students. And then we have a theater project, and they just finished their first musical, Grease. They've tended in the past on one acts, but they're looking at other opportunities. It's been very, very popular with students. We run intramurals for the six campuses, and
that's
we
great.
Have over 3,000 students a year that participate in everything. I mean,
3,000, wow.
Flag football to, you know, summer softball signups just started, and those are always a little more fun because we get more faculty and staff that participate with students
in
the summer. And I know that we're looking at what are the new opportunities. We just did our first, I think we called it a neon run. It was a nighttime run with glow sticks.
Oh, cool.
You know, type of thing. So there's a Great Race Boston, which is a scavenger hunt through Boston in the fall. So there's a lot of those kinds of, again, opportunities where critical mass makes a difference.
Sure.
We just had a proposal from actually a Wentworth club to create some of our first colleges of the Fenway clubs and organizations, really around expanding. And I know rugby, women's rugby, really is colleges of the Fenway integrated. I've known students for years that have participated from the different institutions in the women's rugby program at Wentworth. So I think there's a myriad of activities. We support study abroad. We do a lot of work to support the study abroad efforts of the colleges through our Global Education Opportunity Center and help expand student awareness and opportunities for students to get have an international travel experience.
Sure. What are some places that students could maybe look at if they were going to be a part of the study abroad program?
Well, there's two opportunities. One that we really try to promote is many of the institutions run short-term travel courses. So they run a course and then it involves a week or two of travel, either in May immediately at the end of the semester or over spring break, sometimes in January. So you could cross-register to take the course and then go travel. And because they're across the institutions, you know, there's just a myriad of courses that are available
opportunity.
There. Otherwise, you know, there's numbers of programs that are semester-long programs that each of the colleges contract with outside groups to help manage. And they spend a lot of time together at the study abroad level, of advisors level, talking about the best programs, helping compare notes, helping students understand what the opportunities are.
They've already done some of that research.
They're doing the research and sharing it with each other and comparing student feedback. The part that we get involved in is doing pre-departure orientations, helping, you know, collectively prepare students before they take those trips. And we bring students that have been on those trips, you know, have been participating to educate each other. And then you get to meet other people from different institutions, but they might be going to the same country, semester as you.
Yeah.
So how do you, again, build the network there?
That's great.
We also do some support with international students, similarly, run some programs for how to prepare your taxes if you're an international student. Things that all of the colleges would need to do, and it just makes sense, can we do this together?
Yeah, these universal terms.
Right.
We kind of touched on it with the Muddy River and some of those projects, but tell me a little about the partnership that you have with the City of Boston.
Sure.
Just, you know, are there specific programs you get involved in, or just overall, what is that relationship like?
So, individual efforts have evolved over time based on other things, so we don't have a sort of this formal thing we're going to do with the city.
Right.
But here we are in Boston, and in this neat little corner of Boston, frankly. So as I mentioned, we've over a number of years developed this partnership around the Muddy River. And, you know, as you know, they've just done this huge restoration project.
Yeah, really fantastic.
Looks fabulous, but had a significant impact. So we've been running for 11 years now, this Muddy River Symposium. And we have brought in partners, the community activist groups, folks from the Emerald Necklace Conservancy, to speak at that, to be part of the presentations. We have students presenting their research at that. And those groups help evaluate and provide feedback about the student research. And one of the things, they just did the ribbon cutting for the phase one of the Muddy River, and it was kind of fun. There's a Muddy River Oversight Committee that's a citizen activist group that has monitored all the reconstruction of the river. And they have just and they've worked with the Army Corps of Engineers, the city government, the state government, and the federal government, because all those groups were involved in this project.
Yeah, it sounds very organized.
And that group just published this whole map and brochure and timeline of the river, and right there on the timeline is our College's the Fenway Muddy River Symposium.
Oh, wow.
When it began. And the head of that symposium, who's a faculty member that chairs it from Wheelock College, she has sat on this Muddy River Oversight Committee and really worked to build those bridges, because we think it's an asset to the institutions.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we want students and future generations to understand the value of this type of parkland.
Sure. Here. Well, I think it's a great partnership, first of all. Secondly, it's one of those extensions of the classroom.
Exactly.
Where you can move outside of that traditional, you know, four walls around you and desks into using the city for academic benefit.
Well, frankly, the reason that we even started this whole effort is because faculty were using the river for research.
They were out there anyway.
They were out there doing research, you know, looking at the water quality, measuring phragmites for chemistry classes. So that's really what the initial impetus was that brought the faculty together to have the conversation. How are we at different institutions using the river, measuring heavy metals in the river? You know, let's work together around that. Let's share what we're doing there. Other things, we have a joint membership to the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum as Colleges of the Fenway, so all the students, faculty, and staff can go
into the museum. I've made use of it myself, so thank you.
For free. So that's an opportunity, again, from a business, a little bit of business angle, to negotiate a better, you know, price in terms of purchasing that membership.
And giving them local exposure, too.
Absolutely. Yep. And they really want students to learn about the museum. And one of the things I've noticed with that museum is they've, particularly in the last few years, done more and more that's geared towards a younger.
I've noticed the third Thursdays in particular.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great program.
We also have supported Hubway, which is the bike system in Boston. So you probably have seen along the Fenway, there's a Colleges of the Fenway bike station.
I have seen that, yeah. In fact, I think we have one in front of the 525 apartments,
too. You do,
too.
And COF faculty, staff, and students can get a discounted membership to Hubway.
That's good to know.
So, you know, trying to, again, tie in with efforts in the city. We have a new mobile app that's a Colleges of the Fenway app.
Okay.
So if you download our mobile app, and you can go to any app site and find it.
Apple, Android, everything.
App, and you'll see, you know, Boston highlights, because obviously Boston's a big draw for folks. So we want to help promote particularly those parts of Boston that we think are great for students to learn about and experience while we're here.
Yeah. Like
let's see, what else do we do? We have the Fenway card, and I don't know if you use that, but you can download Fenway Cash on the Fenway card, and there's probably 90 businesses here in Cambridge and downtown that are also part of this campus cash, Fenway Cash, and you can use that cash at any of those businesses. And they run weekly specials, so you know they'll run a 20% discount if you pay with your Fenway cash or that kind of thing. And so if you're on the card, you get the email every week saying this is the special of the week. So that's part of a way to sort of both promote and measure the economic impact that students bring to the city.
Sure. And that's, is that only students or is it also faculty and staff?
Faculty and staff can also use Fenway Cash.
Great.
Students use it for, you know, I mean, in their, they can use it in your vending machines on campus and in laundry machines. And
it's flexible.
It's flexible. Or to, if you want to eat on another campus.
Very good to know. And of course, you just celebrated the official 20th anniversary, which was back in March. Are there other events coming up that you want to talk about, or
well,
any big things?
You know, from a student perspective, we do a block party every fall. Mm-hmm. And one of the things when we did our survey, even numbers of students commented about the block party. So it's an opportunity to come, one, just meet other students. It's a big outdoor event. And two, to find out about all these different clubs and organizations and opportunities across the colleges that are open to
right.
you. So lots of clubs and organizations. And the Gardner Museum and other places come to, so to say, we welcome students, we promote them. And we do a dance right after the block party, and last year 1,000 students attended the dance. So, you know, it's a great social networking mm-hmm. opportunity. So I would say those, you know, we do a spring week, every year, try, again, highlight the same type of thing. What are opportunities for students to come together, to be part of a larger group? This year it included an outing to Blue Man Group, another trip to Dave and Buster's.
That's fun.
So, you know, those kinds of things that students might be interested in. Cross-register, you know, I'm always promoting that opportunity to students to go and take courses on the other campuses.
Mm-hmm.
I had a kind of funny encounter the other day at home, and you know, at an event, and someone introduced me to someone that is a senior at Simmons, and so of course I have to say, have you done anything related to the cross registration? And it turns out she's taken 3 different classes at 3 different institutions.
Oh, good for her.
At her
great.
Time here, and she participated in our theater project. In fact, she said she did it because she had a friend who went to Wentworth, so it was a chance for them to do something together.
Oh, that's nice.
They'd been in theater in high school. And she said, you know, it's part of what drew her to go into Simmons, this opportunity to do this.
Sure. Well, I can tell you, and you probably know this already, that this comes up a lot on our campus tours, where a parent will say, okay, well, what's available here at Wentworth? And the tour guide can say, well, we have this and we have this, but there's also that, and there's this piece over here, all part of the COF. So it really does make it makes for a well-rounded experience, I think, for
and
any
student.
And
it makes you, when you're, you know, these campuses are fairly small from a geographic perspective.
They
but
are.
When you really say, here, you can walk across any of these campuses. And I think we're lucky. It's only 20 minutes to walk across the campuses. You know, many other consortia
true.
Don't have the kind of geographic proximity that we have. You have to take a shuttle bus if you're out in Amherst to go take a class on another campus. Here,
mm-hmm.
you just, here we are. You know, you can walk right across the street.
Yeah, it's very convenient. I just want to ask you another question, kind of looking into the future. Now, you're at 20 years, and I think that it's safe to say that the member schools are very happy with where things have been, where they currently are. What's next for you guys? Are you planning anything, perhaps not adding another school, but are there just ideas you have or other things?
So we, you know, probably comes with being at this for 20 years. We've just finished identifying strategic focus areas that
oh, okay.
will be our focus for the next 5 years. So I can quickly tell you what they are,
yeah, please.
And then, you know, think a little bit about where I think they might go. So one is define and communicate our identity. You know, when you're a consortium, there's always a delicate balance about the consortium's identity versus the individual institutional identities. And we want to make sure that we're helping the schools maximize the value that we can bring to their individual institutional identity. So we're assessing that, looking at the... And some of that will be about the videos we produce. How do we tell more student stories about what they've taken part in?
Sure.
Because those are powerful communicators about the opportunity. And we're working, I should say, along with that on a tagline, 6 colleges, 1 community.
Mm.
So how do we continue to build that sense of community, but with students, but also with faculty and staff? And we do a fair amount already with faculty and staff. So are there opportunities to expand on that? We do a fair amount of joint training and development.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of work there. The second one is enhance the shared student experience. So are there more opportunities to maximize the shared experience? So now it's pretty student driven. If I want to cross register, I'm going to cross, you know, I have to really.
You have to be that kind of person.
Resourceful and
yeah.
say I'm the kind of person that's going to do that. So do we make sure more students are exposed to those opportunities right in the beginning? So that the more reticent student kind of gets a little more push around the shared
mm-hmm.
student experience there. So we're looking at that, particularly, again, the survey told us students want more large-scale events, you know. So how do we work with student activities and others to think about what are the things, how do we maximize their time and energy?
Mm-hmm.
And say, look, if everybody's doing the same small event, are there, can we find better ways to do this together?
More bang for their buck, so to speak.
More bang for their buck, more use of their resources and their time.
Mm-hmm.
And always enhance the student experience at the end. So we have to really assess how do we make sure this provides the best student experience. We don't want to do something that diminishes the student experience. So certainly there's things that belong at individual campuses. That's important to that campus. But where are other opportunities
mm-hmm.
to bring students together? We're looking for opportunities to develop more shared innovative academic programs. So again, capitalizing on the rich diversity of academic mission that
mm-hmm.
our institutions offer. Are there opportunities to create more joint programs that pull from the strengths of the individual institutions and really attract and retain students and prepare students for the future, the jobs of
yep.
the future? Increase our resource efficiencies. So always about how do we help the colleges look for opportunities to save money, but also to enhance services. In the past few years, we've added a shared director of emergency planning that's working with each institution around how to make sure we do the right kind of emergency planning, given that we're in this urban environment.
Is that Brian?
Brian.
Yeah.
And that we're, you know, contiguous. So the fact, you know, for certain emergencies, they're not going to be isolated to one campus. So we need to make sure there's good communication and understanding between the institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, has been a very valuable addition. It has enabled the institutions to bring in someone with a high level of expertise without everybody having to create a full-time position. So they're all paying 1/6. We have a shared director of environmental health and safety that's working with 3 of the campuses that allowed them to move from hiring consultants to having someone, you know, that's full-time rotates between those 3 campuses that is thinking about environmental safety, lab safety, making sure we're meeting regulations, both city and federal regulations, inspections are up to date.
That's a great idea.
So I think more of that, where are there opportunities to think about shared services,
mm-hmm.
Particularly because we have such proximity. We are the size of a university in many cases,
absolutely.
So it's very easy to think about something walking back and
forth. In a major working city. You have hospitals right down the street, you have a lot going on right in this area.
So I see that as part of, you know, sort of continuing for the future, looking for those opportunities to do those kinds of things.
Sure.
I mentioned we do a fair amount of training and development collectively, so we have a leadership management program that works with faculty and staff as a cohort group every year. We've been doing that for over 15 years. We've just launched a department chairs training program for faculty. We run professional development workshops all year through Human Resources. And I think we've built a good reputation for those being strong
mm-hmm.
programs. The feedback we get from participants as well as their supervisors is very positive. And so I think we're going to continue to look for more opportunities to do that kind of thing where institutions are concerned about the professional development of their faculty and staff and where are the opportunities, again, to reduce duplication of effort, to bring in excellent presenters and speakers by working together.
Right.
I think the other piece is participants say to us they value that dialogue they have in the program with people from another campus
mm-hmm.
As they, you know, are faced with similar challenges.
Sure. It's just nice to know also, I think, if you are a school dealing with an issue, that another school has maybe already gone through it. And here's how they handled it. Here's how they can help.
You know, I think one of the places we see that, you know, most people don't know we have this Colleges of the Fenway Area Network. So we're the ISP provider back to the colleges. We actually have fiber optic cable that runs under the streets that links all 6 institutions.
Yeah, people should know that.
And so, you know, we're sort of bulk purchasing bandwidth, so to speak, and redistributing it to the colleges. And it has allowed the colleges to manage bandwidth and grow that bandwidth since we built it effectively. But what it's also done is fostered a really nice relationship between the network managers at the colleges, and they are great. They're probably one of our models at providing support to each other. If somebody has an emergency, other people calling or walking across the street saying, I'll help you figure this out. So that's in some ways what I would hope for every group Another group there, our counseling center directors do a lot of that, sharing information. Many of them hire interns, or don't hire, but engage interns from the local professional programs. And they've worked together over at different times to develop training programs for their interns, saying, look, we all have one or two interns. How can we work together? They share information. How are you managing different issues on your campuses? What are the best resources that are out there in the city? So that's the kind of thing that we absolutely want to cultivate.
Sure. And all the while, sounds like you're really doing what you like to do, and that's look forward and impact change.
That's what I love to do. At the same time, in some ways, you were like, you know, sort of, I joke about the development of an organization similarly to the development of a person. So, you know, sort of, you do these things where you're a young organization, you tend to be a little more ad hoc. And I would say, as we've grown up, we're in our 20s, early 20s now, we're trying to establish, you know, more routines, more systems. We're actually looking right now, so operationally, is this the best way to work? Some of this stuff, as I said, you do as an ad hoc, you know, you just, particularly when you're a one and two person operation, and then as you grow, you have to step back and say, okay, you know, maybe we need to become more formal. Or as there's turnover at the institutions, how do you make sure that you could put some systems for passing along information in place and, you know, helping people decrease the learning curve about what Colleges of the Fenway is about and say, okay, this is how to do this. So I would say that's the other part of it now.
Yeah, COF is a grown adult at this point.
That's it. It's got a reputation. I'm not sure if you're a fully grown adult at 20, but
Legally speaking, perhaps.
Legally speaking.
Still learning, maybe.
Yeah. I guess I would say, you know, our admissions group works very hard and well together around making sure students are aware, running tours for high school counselors and private counselors, individual counselors, to learn more about Colleges of the Fenway and spread the word. So that's another group that's been very active over time there. I think we've taken a lot of our multicultural affairs. I don't know if you've ever gone to the MLK breakfast, which we've been doing.
I have not gone, unfortunately. I have promoted it a few times on our website.
Yeah. So, you know, all these kinds of things that, again, help build a sense of community and a sense of shared value.
In terms of further information, people can obviously go to the website.
Right.
They can follow you on social media. Are there specific people they can also contact, or offices?
So you could contact any of the offices, and if you go to our website, you'll find contact information for the offices. We are actually in the process of looking at moving our office.
Okay.
And so while I can't give you an address and a phone number, so our phone numbers will change probably this summer.
Okay, this is breaking news.
But I hope that once we're moved, we'll be more accessible to students as an organization. Students don't really find their way upstairs here. Because, you know, and right now we're frankly all spread out across the campuses. Somebody has, a couple people have offices at MassArts, somebody else at Simmons, some of us here, you know, sort of we're kind of, and so our hope is we're going to consolidate a little bit and actually have a more visible space that if someone had a question and they wanted to walk, they could come and meet with us.
Almost like a center.
Yeah, a little bit more like that.
That's
but
great.
Again, we're all over social media. You've probably seen our Twitter account.
Absolutely
up
have,
there,
yes.
And our website, and we have some videos. And we have a number of students that work for us that help monitor all the inquiries and make sure that we respond to them.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for asking.
I definitely encourage people to look you guys up and to learn more, because I think it is a great program that all of these schools can be a part of.
Great.
So
good.
Thank you.
Thank you.